Now, my name's Jeff, as Sean said, one of the pastors here, pastor at Village Community Church, and got a bunch of our folks down. If you're from Village again, let me hear from you. All right. Much bigger turnout than the 9:30 service. We are not morning people at the Village. We like to sleep in and have an 11 o'clock service. And Pastor Paul, I don't know if you're here today, but thank you for inviting us down. And thank you for letting me close out the Blessed Life today. You may or may not know, but we've been doing this series at both campuses. And we don't get to do that often. You know, Paul and I both let the Holy Spirit direct us based on where we think the church is and what we need to preach on in the moment. But we both had it on our heart to do a series based on generosity. And so we've been working together on this series. So it's the same messages that you've been hearing. The folks down at the Village have been hearing. They've just been a little bit shorter. But I love you, Pastor Paul. But the exact same stuff. And so I'm thankful that I get to be here, kind of wrap it up today. So let's go ahead and pray and just ask God's guidance. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for leading everybody here, God, including myself, Father. Really, there's no other place that I would rather be. And so just ask that you would help us to engage with this message, Father, that your Spirit would begin to open our hearts, God, to open our eyes, Father, to release any anxieties or fears we have about generosity, but to simply hear your voice, to respond to your love and your grace, and to follow you with all our hearts. And so, Holy Spirit, fall in this place. May you have your way with me as I speak. May you have your way with each and every one of us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I got to tell you, it's new for me preaching two services. We only have one at the Village. I am a little bit tired. So if my fire went out a little bit, you know, that's why. No, it's just, it's funny. It's a little tiring to get up here and do it a second time. So Paul, congrats to you that you can do this week after week. But I am excited to be able to preach this message that I just preached a little bit ago. And to prepare for this message, Brandon emailed me a couple weeks. And he just said, hey, Jeff, you got any songs on your heart that you want us to sing before you get up? And I gave him a couple songs. But the one specific request I had was that we could do Break Every Chain. Is that not just a fabulous song? I just love that song for a lot of reasons. But the words to that song, a couple key verses in that really, I think, talk about what I want to share here this morning. And so we're going to look at a couple of those verses and apply that to this Blessed Life series. And the first line that I want to talk about is, there is power in the name of Jesus. I just love that. I mean, I say it, and I just can feel it in my heart that there's power, that there's dunamis, which means there's dynamite, there's authority. There's nothing that can stop, that there is power in the name of Jesus to do what? To break every chain. And you may not have realized it as we've gone through this series. This is now week number 4, but as Paul and I prepare these messages, much of what we're trying to accomplish over these 4 weeks is to see the chains being broken from our lives so that we can live a generous life. And for some of us, that takes different shapes and forms, and what prevents us from living a generous life. Sometimes it's simply just, you know, our greed. Been there, done that for a lot of my life. Sometimes it's pride. I know what's best with my money. I've said that myself before. You know, sometimes it's just indifference. We don't know better. So there's been a lot of information throwing at us. But I think for a lot of us, even still today, that it's fear. That the chains that bind us from living that generous life is fear. And so I want to speak to that a little bit today. And I know we've talked about it during week 2 of this series, but in my heart, I know it's what's stopping a lot of us from taking that next step that the Holy Spirit's been pushing us to take during this series. And I want to read a scripture to you. It comes from Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, when he came into this world, he lived for, like you and I did, for about 30 years. Just went about life. Obviously, he was a little bit different than you and I. He was without sin, and I'm sure his childhood was a little bit different. But for the most part, he didn't have what people call this public ministry. He began that around the age of 30. His public ministry is when Jesus kind of went around, and he was proclaiming the good news. He was saying the kingdom of God is at hand. He was healing people. He was casting out demons. And so before he began his public ministry, he kind of declared who he was and what his purpose in coming into this world was. And he did it by unrolling the scroll of Isaiah. And he read this passage from Isaiah about himself. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to break the chains that are in our lives. And during this series, we're talking about the lifestyle of generosity. And that's the purpose Jesus came for, is to break us free from whatever in your life is preventing you from living a generous life. And if you don't feel like these chains have been stripped away from you yet, then you're not allowing Jesus to do the work in you that he wants to do. Because he came to break those chains. Before I dive deeper into that, though, I find myself needing to remind all of us every week a little context for this series in the context of generosity. Because what we don't want is for us to leave here today and then we end the series and we think, you know, hey, it's my Christian duty to be generous. That I tithe because I'm a good Christian soldier. I'm gonna toe the line and do my duty. That's not what we're talking about. There's a bigger picture than that. There's a bigger picture on why God calls us to a generous life that we have to remember. Number one, God always calls us to a generous life before his own glory. That's above everything else. Everything God asks us to do is for his glory. But even below that, I want to make sure we all remember this. Because for me, it's motivation. Just a duty and an obligation gets me so far. But we talked about this in week two. I don't want you to forget it, that there's joy in it for us. John chapter 15, Jesus said, you know, the commands I give you, and what he's talking about is the reason I tell you to do the things you do, and right, Jesus knows what's best for us. Can we agree on that? Amen. Hey, the 9:30 talked more than you. Village folks, you got to start talking. Come on. Jesus knows what's best for us, right? Amen. He absolutely does. He says, the reasons I tell you the things I do, the commands I give you in the context of the blessed life, we'll put it this way. The reason I tell you to live a life of generosity is so that my joy may be complete in you. Do you catch that? The joy of the Lord may be complete in us. Jesus says, I call you to be generous so that you can have my joy in you. Don't miss that, okay? Don't just think duty or obligation, but the joy of the Lord is in us. And he also calls us to a life of generosity. What? For our freedom. For our freedom. We've talked about this over the past 3 weeks. We can't serve two masters, can we? We can't serve God, and we can't serve money. What happens? We'll end up hating one. And so it's almost like we have a choice to make. Are we going to serve God? Are we going to serve money? Are we going to love God? Or are we going to love money? Are we going to allow Jesus to do what he desires to do today, which is to break any chain in our lives that prevents us from living a life of generosity? And as this title to the series reminds us, when we do that, when we step out in faith and we live a life of generosity, what does God do? He blesses our socks off, doesn't he? I'm already hearing stories. Already hearing stories about it. And it's so refreshing to see some younger folks here in the front rows. And guys, I don't know if you felt like this series is for you or not. You know, like, hey, I don't make money, or I don't make much money. Know that this is for you too. This is going to set you up to live the blessed life into your future. But God blesses us. We talked about last week, Malachi, when we bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And did anyone see those Skittles out there? That pile of Skittles. Did anybody eat any? Oh. You're from the village, I know. And someone from the village ate the Skittles too. Okay, don't eat the Skittles. Okay. Because they've all been on the ground and touched by a bunch of people. But in case you weren't here last week, I thought it was really creative. Everyone who came to the service was handed a bag of Skittles. Some people got the fun size, which has about 20 Skittles in it. Other people got the king size. It has about 1,500 Skittles in it. So everybody was given a bag of Skittles, and everybody was eating them during the service. And look down, you'll probably see a bunch of Skittles on the ground right now from last week. But we were given the Skittles. At the end of the service, they were told, you know, as an illustration of giving God your first fruits, giving God your tithe first, as you leave, put 10%. So if you had a fun pack, that was 2 Skittles. If you had a king-size pack, you had to count 144 Skittles and pour them into that bowl that you see out there. But what happened when people did that? The thing's overflowing, isn't it? It is absolutely, they're literally on the ground every day, and people are picking them up and putting them back in. So that's your disclaimer. Do not sue us. If you get sick, I'm sorry, Dolores, from eating the Skittles. We cannot be sued because I told you, do not eat the Skittles. But that's what God promises to do, right? When we bring the tithe into the storehouse, what does he do? I promise to make you suffer. I promise you to be in one. No, God says, I promise to open the floodgates. I promise that you will live the blessed life if you do this. You know, so far in this series, I'm encouraged in a lot of ways because we've seen 35 first-time givers during this series so far. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? 35 people. People that know me know that I'm never very satisfied, though. I think it is a celebration. It is awesome that 35 folks took the first step towards generosity. I don't want to miss that. But as I talked about earlier, I'm convinced that in our lives that somehow God is pushing you towards a more generous life. And so for those 35 folks, that meant they needed to get in the game. They needed to do something. But I think everyone in this room, if you're honest here this morning, you'll say, God is asking me for this next step. And I think a lot of us, when we reflect on that next step, when we get excited, we hear Pastor Paul go for it last week, and woo, man, I'm going to do it. I am going to tithe. And then Monday hits, and we look like my son Andrew on the screen. This is a picture of Andrew last Saturday in line for his first ride on Diamondback. This is how a lot of you are feeling right now. I know it. You're afraid. You're fearful of what you think God is asking you to do. And trust me, he is asking you to do that. But you're full of fear and anxiety. And my wife, Sarah, took him on the ride. I went golfing with my daughter, Ellie. That's a lot more fun to me than going on Diamondback. And because I've only been on Diamondback once. So I know where my son gets his fear of roller coasters from. So I'm not up here saying I'm a big tough guy, but Andrew was full of fear. But guess what? Like 35 of you, he got on the ride. He got in the game. And I don't know what he was thinking because I wasn't with him, but I know what I was thinking when I got on the ride. You know when that lap belt comes down and you can't get out? And this is what some of you are feeling like. You take in the 90-day challenge. You said, I'm going to tithe for 90 days. You've already made up excuses why you can't do it this week, but you're going to start next week. That's not me being mean, but I'm just trying to get the picture because I know that's what's going on. You feel like Andrew, the lap butts, I can't get out. Oh, my gosh. And then it starts to go up the hill, right? Click, 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 click. I hate that. Click, 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 click. It goes up the hill. And if you're in the front car, I think that's the worst place to be because you sit at the top of the hill, and it seems like it stops or what, for like a minute. It's probably just for a second. But it's amazing how many impure thoughts a pastor can have in that 1 second. When he's sitting, and I want to scream, get me off of this. I can't do it. And then you just start praying. Oh, I hope the engineers knew what they were doing when they designed this hill. Oh, Holy Father, will you deliver me in the palm of your hand when we're done? All those things are going through my head because I was still full of fear and anxiety. And what Jesus wants to do here in your life through this series, he wants to break it. That's what he does best. Break that chain of fear, whatever it is that is preventing you from living a life of generosity. He wants to snap it in half if you're willing to let him. And Andrew went on that ride. And what did he say as soon as he got off? That was awesome. I want to do it again. And I believe that's true for us. If you're willing to to let your life be free from whatever it is, the love of money, the fear of security, I won't have enough, God won't bless me, he will. If you are willing to take that ride, you'll be just like Andrew. You'll come down that first hill. You'll be screaming, woohoo, this is awesome, because God is going to bless you for that. I want to share a story with somebody from Rivers Crossing, who's been on this journey for a couple months now, and it's kind of come to a head through this series. Listen to Justine's story and hear how, most importantly, God has broken her free from her fears.
I've always identified as a Christian. I was raised in a Christian home with a great family and lots of positive influence. By nature, I have always been goal-oriented and very much focused on personal achievement. This really started to come to life when I was in high school, and I began working toward both academic and athletic achievement. I experienced a lot of success, graduating class valedictorian, winning homecoming queen, and garnering many athletic accolades. This continued into college, where I graduated summa cum laude with an engineering degree, as well as being captain of a very successful collegiate rowing program. After college, I accepted a job offer and began to build my career and long-term personal goals. I was in a two-year relationship with somebody that I thought I had absolutely hit the jackpot with. Everything seemed to be falling into place, and I kept climbing and climbing and climbing. I thought life was awesome. Then a year ago, within a two-month span, I experienced two major life changes. First off, the program I was responsible for at work that I thought was an absolute rock star career opportunity suddenly got canceled. Second, and more impactful, my boyfriend broke up with me very unexpectedly. This devastated me, as I was prepared to build a life with this man, and I was immediately reset to square one. The two areas of my life where I had placed most of my importance and identity were seemingly stripped almost simultaneously. Fortunately, Amy and Chris Paul, my sister and brother-in-law, invited me to RC3 with them about a week after these changes. The church was just beginning the Pretender series, and the message content was literally nothing less than a divine intervention. I had been living the life of a pretender for more than a decade. The reason I mentioned all of the accolades previously was not to brag about them, but to demonstrate how the successes that God blessed me with actually further fueled my desire to achieve and my selfish tendencies. I was internally falsely reinforcing that I was responsible for those achievements because I worked hard and I was a disciplined person, instead of giving God the glory and thanking Him for the talents and the blessings that enabled those achievements. I truly believe that God had to strip those two idols from my life and literally reset me to pay attention. A couple weeks into the Pretender series, I was doing some personal financial work, and I noticed that my savings account had eclipsed $100,000 in less than 5 years of employment. I had been anticipating that milestone as something that I would be totally excited about. However, when I saw that number, I literally felt sick to my stomach. When I saw that amount in my account, I felt like a robber. I had been robbing God's kingdom for 5 years, donating small amounts to charity, and giving the kingdom crumbs at my convenience while basking in growing my financial wealth and future. This prompted me to immediately take the 90-day giving challenge, and I made a personal commitment that I would financially account for and make up for the previous 5 years of not giving. I needed to be intentional about it. Just a year later, I'm really close to fulfilling that commitment of the previous 5 years. I'm so thankful that God made this intervention in my life, because I literally think I was at the breaking point where if I didn't start giving, it would be hard for me to ever make that personal habit or even to start. I now have financial freedom, and I feel so blessed because of that.
Amen. You all should be clapping right now. Pretty bold, isn't it? Felt like I was robbing God for 5 years. Holy Spirit convicted me. I'm going to make that up in 1 year. Now, that's not prescriptive. I'm not up here saying, you need to make up for the last 5 years and not tithing God, unless the Holy Spirit's telling you to. But that's what free people do. That's how free people live. That may sound crazy and ludicrous to you, but when you've been set free from fear and worry, anxiety, you know that your love and your approval and your acceptance comes from Christ and what He did on the cross. That's how you live. That's what you do. Part of what God has put on my heart is to be just plain when I talk to you and simply say, for many of us, we just need to stop making excuses. Start receiving the blessing that God has for us. Stop making excuses on why we can't take that next step, why we can't get in the game, why we can't move to 5%, why we can't honor God with a tithe. Stop making those excuses. Start receiving His blessing. Start making a difference. Because when you have a group of people together that do that, you can make a huge impact. You know, the first time I heard that song, I Surrender, was here this morning at the 9:30 service. I love that song. Yas, are you here? We're going to do that song, Yas. He's the worship leader now at the Village. Love that song. I love that song. But also hearing, no, you can't stand up and just, I surrender all. I want to know you more. God, I give everything to you, but not live a generous life. That's why the series on hypocrisy convicted Justine. She couldn't do that any longer. She saw the light. For many of us, I hope we're seeing that here. We'll allow Jesus to take away the fears that we have and the anxiety. So that we can be the church we want to be, so that we can have a huge impact in this community and around the world. And that's the second line to the song I want to share, is that there is an army rising up. I love that line too. And I feel that way about what God's doing here at Rivers Crossing and at the Village. You feel that way? I mean, I hope you see it. Like, you can see there is. God is raising up. Rising up. I don't know which one. I didn't get a summa cum laude. But he's doing it. He's raising up a group of people. And we've seen the fruit of just what I call the seeds of generosity. Trust me, we're not there yet. We've seen a taste of generosity so far. Before we moved into this building and we bought this building through the generosity of some people. Since we moved in, 300 people have come to faith in Jesus Christ. I call that some good fruit of generosity. Over 100 people have been baptized. And it's just a taste. Trust me, it is just a taste of what God can do if we're an army truly of generous people that he is raising up. Similar things are happening down at the Village week after week. We've got the same types of stories going on down there. For those that aren't at the Village on a regular basis, I thought I'd show some pictures to you because I want you to grasp this. I truly want you to get this. What happens when a handful of people say, "What? I am going to be boldly generous." Put the first picture on the screen. It's a picture of Kathy being baptized. Kathy, are you here? I don't think she's able to make it this morning, but a great story of somebody who's seen her way through what's going on in the Village, through Joshua's Place and Celebrate Recovery and eventually Village Community Church, and then being baptized, becoming a new creation in Christ as a fruit of the generosity that was born. The next picture. My brother Vance was at the first service. Man, this guy is awesome. Didn't go to church at all. Was really hard to God. Had no good thoughts about coming to church, but his son went to summer camp. And so he had to come on that day because we made his son come up on a stage and sing. So if you're wondering why we have kids on stage sometimes and sing, it's not for entertainment because they bring their unchurched parents with them. Vance came to the service that day, hasn't left, gave his life to Christ, was baptized, and is serving on a regular basis. Fruit, seeds of generosity. Next picture. There's my girl, Dolores. Lives a block away from the community center. Been a part of the Village Community Church almost from day one. Goes deeper into a relationship with Jesus. Is baptized. First person there almost every Sunday morning. There every Tuesday night for community nights. Learning what it means to be a part of a community that loves her. And Dolores, I love you and I'm so glad you're there. And it's so awesome to see what God's doing in your life. I'm not going to share all your stories because I didn't ask your permission. But I'm so proud of the steps you are taking. Proud of the steps you're taking to be what God's created you to be. The fruit of generosity. Next picture. This is awesome. This was summer camp last year, and you're going to hear more about that in just a little bit. But we had 50 kids from the Village come to summer camp. 16 made decisions to follow Jesus. Some of them were baptized later on at Village Community Church. This is what happens when people are generous. This is why we're called to generous. But I tell you, we're just scratching the surface. Absolutely scratching the surface. Now, I want to share some stats with you. I used to be a CPA before God called me to be a pastor. And so you can believe these numbers, okay? You can trust me. I was a CPA. I worked for a company called Deloitte & Touche. They usually like audit, you know, when you have the Grammys. This was audited by Deloitte & Touche. So these numbers have been audited by Deloitte & Touche. I'm not exaggerating in one least bit, and I'm serious about that. But listen to what the impact could be from a church that's generous. I crunched some numbers and I said, okay, I know all the people that attend Village Community Church and Rivers Crossing Community Church. I just took the people that would call this a church home. So not everyone who's been through the doors, but people that come on a regular basis. I said, what would happen if one-third of the people that came to church tithe, gave 10% of their gross income? What if another third of those people gave 5%? So I didn't go crazy. Like, I didn't say, let's see, everybody needs to tithe. Everyone needs to go from nothing to tithing. That's not realistic. Well, maybe it is. God's a big God, isn't he? But I said, what if a third gave 5%? And then the other third, new believers, just learning about generosity, got in the game and gave 2%. What would it look like? What could we do? What impact could we make? Well, I can tell you, number one, we would have no debt, okay? We wouldn't have taken a loan out to purchase this building. One, we wouldn't need a campaign. Can I get a woo-hoo? Amen. We wouldn't need a campaign to expand here so we can make room for more people. Those familiar with Guatemala, we help support two schools in Guatemala. There's 12 barrios in La Limonada. We could build and fully fund every year 10 more schools in La Limonada, if that's the type of church we were. And on top of all that, okay, no debt, no campaign, 10 schools, we could plant 12 churches a year. I'm not talking just, you know, here's a few bucks. $200,000 to 12 men that God's raised up, called out to plant churches wherever he calls them. We could do that every single year. Isn't that the type of church you want to be? Amen. I know it's the type of church I want to be a part of. It's the type of church I want to be leading. What's our mission? We exist to give everybody an opportunity to be fully engaged followers of Christ. It means we exist to make room for the 50,000 people who live in a 3-mile radius of this building who don't know Jesus Christ. It means we exist to be a church, here this village is for you, that plants churches, that plants churches, that plants churches, that plants churches, that plants churches. That's the type of church we are. We exist to start Joshua's Place in any place in the city that needs something like Joshua's Place. We exist to be a church to reach the addicted, not just in the village of South Lebanon, but wherever God calls us to go. And we can be that church if we're willing to take those steps of generosity that God is asking us to take. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at, but all I know is God's asking you to take a step. God's asking you to move forward. For some of us, we took a first step, right? Those 30, if you're one of the 35, God, you took a step. God asked you, said, get in the game. For many of us, God's still saying, get in the game. For others, God's saying, you know what? I'm glad you're in the game, but you need to be a little more regular about what you're doing around here. You're starting to seem like you're just tipping God. 25 bucks when I come, 50 bucks, whatever. God, you know what God is asking you to do. He's asking you to become a regular giver. He's probably telling you, go online when you get home, become a regular giver. If you don't show up much during the summer, God's asking you to be a regular giver. Others, we've been in the game. We're fairly regular, but we're not very intentional. And we heard the 90-day challenge that was thrown out at both campuses last year, and some of us know. And I pray it's about a third of you. That'd be pretty cool, huh? Take that step. Take the giving challenge. Tithe for the next 90 days. See that God doesn't bless you. If he doesn't, we'll refund your money. Whatever what step God's asking you to take, I pray and I hope that you'll take that step. Why? So that you can be blessed. And so that we can be the church that God has called us to be. This should not be extraordinary stuff. This is what the church should look like, and we can be that church. Now, up to this point, we've been talking about money, right? Anybody wondering, why aren't they talking about being generous with my time and serving? Anybody? Do they just care about my money? This church just wants my money. Well, that's not the case. We know that church doesn't want your money. The church doesn't need your money, but God wants you to be generous. But I want to transition for a moment here as we close out this series to say yes. Yes, God just doesn't want us to be generous with our treasures, as we call them, but he wants us to be generous with our time and our talents, our giftings. Why haven't we talked about it up until this point? Because if we did, I know how most of us think, because I used to think that way. Well, I give my time, therefore I don't need to give my money. How many of us said that? Anybody, any honest people out there? I don't have much, so I serve with my time. You liars, you hypocrites. See, if you laugh, then you're being a little real here this morning. We intentionally avoided that because it's easy for a lot of us, right? We want to do that. We want to give our time and we want to serve. And when we do that, I do want to be clear and be faithful to the scriptures that God will bless that. God will bless that. And I want to encourage us to live that way. Not to choose which one. Is it my treasures? Or is it my time and my talents? What does God want? He wants it all. It's what he's looking for. I want to share with you a few passages of scriptures just to affirm what I said. And this is only my second scripture. So if you're wondering if we use the Bible down at the village, we use the Bible down at the village a lot. The first part of this message didn't require much of it, and I hope that makes sense to you. But yeah, we believe in the Bible at the village. We use it every single week. It's our guide. But I want to share with you some scriptures. What the Bible says about those who serve. And you're going to find this very familiar, I hope so. Why does God call us to be generous with our time and our talents? Number one, it's for God's glory, Matthew 15:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Same thing about our financial resources. When we're generous with serving, who's glorified? Not us, but God. It's why one of the reasons he calls us to. He also calls it to us for his joy, as I spoke about earlier. There's a passage from Luke 10:17. You can put that on the screen. This passage, a short little scripture, there's a culmination of Jesus sending 72 people out on mission. Jesus was preparing the church to be missional. He said, you go out, you proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal people in my name. Cast out demons in my name. These 72 went out. They were persecuted. It wasn't easy for them to do. They had to sacrifice to do it. But when they returned, what does Luke say? He just simply says, hey, they return with joy. Anytime we serve, we're filled with the joy of the Lord. Next is for our freedom. This is an awesome verse. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Why does God call us to be generous with our time and our talents? For his glory, for our own freedom, and for our joy. Same thing with our treasures. But on top of that, what does he do? Just like when we're generous with our treasures, he blesses us. Listen to this. John chapter 12. Whoever serves, this is Jesus speaking. He says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Another great promise from Scripture, isn't it? When we serve Jesus, we're honored. We're blessed. The question I think, hopefully you're asking is, at least I'm going to make you ask it. What does it mean to serve Jesus? Because that's what he's saying here. When you serve me, I will honor you and I will bless you. I want to read a passage to you from Matthew. It's 10 verses, so hang in there, but it'll be on your screen. This is how Jesus says we serve him. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. When we feed the hungry, when we lift up the poor, when we stand by the addicted, when we support the orphans and the widows, we're serving Jesus. You know, some of the most joyful and blessed people I know are folks who do this on a regular basis. When I think of the folks down who serve at Joshua's place, specifically the coordinators, those are the folks who sit one-on-one across from the folks that come to Joshua's place. I can guarantee you that they would all tell you they feel blessed. I talked to a guy named Drews Mitchells. He's one of the guys that's a coordinator. And, you know, hey, Drews, how's your week going? Always says the same thing. Man, it's been busy. It's been crazy. Work's chaotic. Family's running here and there. Kids are going here and there. But, you know, I was at Joshua's place, man. It was awesome. He goes, it was awesome. He goes, I feel so blessed. I feel so blessed. And it doesn't mean it's easy. You sit across table from somebody who's got a lot of issues in their life, who's trying how to make it and live on $15,000 a year. It's tough, but he's blessed because of it. I think of the folks that Celebrate Recovery. Some of the most blessed folks I know are the folks who lead Celebrate Recovery. And I think of my brother Randy over here. He's one of the leaders of Celebrate Recovery, and sometimes I worry about Randy because he's down there on Wednesdays for 4 hours, and he's there on Saturday for 2 hours, and he's meeting with this guy at 6 in the morning and that guy at 8 at night. And I'm like, Randy, are you okay? Are you running around? Are you getting worn out? And he just looks at me, and Randy's a softie. He usually starts crying at this point because he can't help himself. But he's like, man, I'm so blessed. Do you believe that God allows me to lift the addicted up? We're blessed when we serve Jesus in this way. We're full of joy when we serve Jesus in this way. And Pastor Paul and I often reflect upon what God's doing here in our churches. And obviously what we're most excited about is seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ and become fully engaged followers of Christ. And we think about, you know, you ask yourself why or how. We know it's God and God's move on his own. God will move where he wants, when he wants. But as a church, we're like, man, we feel like we've set ourselves up for the blessing of God. Why? Because we've done things like Joshua's Place. We've started churches like Village Community Church. You know, there hasn't been a Joshua's Place in South Lebanon for a couple hundred years that South Lebanon's been around. There's been food pantries, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there hasn't been a Joshua's Place. And there hasn't been a church like Village. There's churches in town, and I go to lunch with the pastors, and it's not against them. But there hasn't been a church like Village Community Church there before. You know why that is? Because it takes a lot of money to do it right. But we as a church have been generous. We've been committed to standing alongside the poor and the addicted, not only in the village, but in Guatemala. And God has blessed us as a church for that. We want to continue that. We want more of that. And I want to call you to that. I want to call you to live this type of life where you serve Jesus in this way. And I know some of you are because I see you down at JP. But I want to be clear that what goes on in the village is not a Village Community Church thing. So I know it's been said here before, but from the pastor of Village Community Church, this is a Rivers Crossing thing. Okay? We are in this together and we need to work together. And in just a moment, I'm going to make the biggest ask ever made for volunteers at Rivers Crossing Community Church. Listen to this video. It's from Kevin Payton. He's the one who leads up Joshua's Place. He's going to share with you what's been going on there, but what we feel like we're called to and how you can get involved.
Hi, I'm Kevin Payton. I'm an elder here and the volunteer leader for Joshua's Place. I'm excited to update you on what's happening at Joshua's Place thanks to the generosity of Rivers Crossing and Village Community Churches. Joshua's Place is a community outreach ministry that exists to help individuals break the negative cycles of poverty. We do this through programs like our weekly food co-op, King's Power Pack, and Celebrate Recovery. But we also help by being relationally involved in the lives of those we serve. Resources and time are the foundations of the help we provide every week. We give food to 60 families twice a month through our food co-op program. We were able to expand this number in January because of our 4 for More initiative. We had a waiting list for families that want to be part of Joshua's Place, so last fall we asked the current members of Joshua's Place to pay $4 every time they came, and then we used that money to add 10 more families to the food program. This had an amazing impact on the members and volunteers, as families have felt the joy of using their resources to help their neighbors. God calls us all to give, regardless of our current economic position. We know that poverty can be material, but it's also relational and spiritual. Knowing this, we're launching more initiatives focused on individual transformation and development. We want to create opportunities for personal growth and relational context. We're currently wrapping up the details of our Learning and Technology Center. There's no library in South Lebanon, and many of the families we serve have limited or no access to computers or the internet. Thanks to the generosity of our church, private donors, and the Sammy Reagan Foundation, we'll be open for business before next school year. To honor the contribution made by the Reagan family and in Sammy's memory, we've named the Learning and Technology Center Sammy's Place. This will be a center for learning and growth as we kick off development training initiatives like Faith and Finances, which is a financial literacy program for low-income families. We'll have job training, GEDs, parenting and literacy classes. Last summer, we held our first ever summer camp in the village. It was a 5-week day camp, 3 days a week, for rising first through sixth graders. It was a huge success thanks to the dozens of volunteers that served meals, made crafts, taught classes, hugged and loved on 50 kids from our community. The relationships that started last summer have continued on, and through this year we've already been contacted by parents and kids to make sure we're going to do it again. We know the Lord will provide the finances and volunteers for us to do it, so we're committed to another year and would love for you to be involved. The commitment levels are flexible, so if you'd like to serve kids and you can pass a background check, we've got a job for you. Building on our summer camp learning, we've also committed to begin a WizKids reading and tutoring program next fall. WizKids is a faith-based, one-to-one mentoring relationship to help kids in South Lebanon Elementary develop academically. Our plans are to transport the kids every Tuesday to the community center, where we'll provide snacks, play games, and work on improving literacy skills. We need volunteers to read with, love, and spend time with the kids through Joshua's Place WizKids program. Along with mentors, we're also looking for a site director and volunteer coordinator to help lead the program. These outreaches require money, but they also need willing hands and feet. God first called me to serve the poor 9 years ago, and I've been doing it for 7. The 2-year gap was a mix of personal complacency and spiritual misdirection. I spent 2 years sitting on the sideline, convinced that domestic poverty was simply a result of someone's bad choices. In the 7 years since, I've come to realize that consequences and choices are an element of what we face, but so are love and mercy. God has peeled back the layers of my judgmental heart and shown me how He sees those we serve. That awakening has been the most challenging and inspiring journey of my life. Today, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will awaken many of you to the challenge and joy of this journey. As the leader of this all-volunteer team, I want to assure you that great care is given to managing resources and focused vision. We have a great team of servants that gives generously of their time, talents, and treasure. However, the need is greater than our current capacity, and we feel the Lord drawing us to an even larger impact in our community. You see, the question isn't if the Lord will accomplish His vision for our community. The question is if you'll choose to be part of His vision.
I heard a Thank you for your because, you know, Kevin said it great, you know, God will do what He wants to do. The question is, are you going to be a part of it? You know, as one of the pastors around either campus, people come up to me and they often say, man, I love what you guys are doing. You guys are awesome. I love what you're doing. But I want everyone to be able to say in this room is, I love what we're doing. I love what we're doing. Unless you're a part of it, unless you're serving Jesus in this way in some capacity, you're going to continue to say, I love what you're doing. The call today is for us to be able to say as a community, I love what we're doing. If you could take out your connection card, please, everybody. And you got to raise it up. I'm not moving forward until I see them. And I know you're, oh yeah, come on. Woo! Over here on the right, come on. Thank you, thank you. Flip it over on the back side. I want to focus in on the right side of it and speak to a few things on that side. It says, I'm interested in. I want to talk about a couple of things Kevin talked about. I'm interested in serving at summer camp. You know, we're expecting at least 50 kids to come back this year. And we'll probably have to cap it at there just because of the capacity of our building. But we need about 60-plus people to serve and volunteer in order to make that happen. So I'm hoping that many of you will make that decision today to serve at summer camp. It begins the Monday after July 4th, runs for 4 weeks this year, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 to 2. No, you don't have to be there every week. Maybe you can only do 1 week. Maybe you'll use one of your vacation weeks and serve at summer camp. I think that would be awesome. maybe you can just do every Friday. But if you're willing to serve in some capacity, please check that box. Students, this is a great way for you if you don't have jobs or you have jobs with some flexibility to serve at summer camp. And I would encourage you, don't do it because you need service hours. In fact, I would challenge you to do it without asking for service hours as an act of generosity. Why? So God can bless you, so it's not a transactional thing. But we needed 50, 60 folks at least to make this as good as it was last year. And 16 kids came to faith in Christ, and some of their parents came to faith in Christ. So this is a huge deal. Kevin also mentioned Wiz Kids Tutoring. I am so excited about this because I think it's going to have a huge impact in the children in South Lebanon. It's going to be on Tuesdays from 4 to 5 o'clock starting in October. And it's tutoring. It's reading. It's a reading tutoring program for kids that go to SLE. My goal is to have 50 kids tutored. I'll do it with 5. That's the only number of volunteers we have. But I think there's no reason when there's almost 1,000 people that attend our campuses that we can't have at least 50 folks that are willing to tutor these kids. And it's a faith-based program. So we'll spend time tutoring the kids. But I get just as excited knowing that we're going to be spending time mentoring spiritually the kids in the village, sitting down at the table with them saying, how can I pray for you? And that's when real stuff starts happening in the village, when you can ask somebody, how can I pray for you? You get to know them, be a part of their lives. And I want to challenge you not to be making excuses on why you can't do it. Okay? I have a job. All right? I know you don't think I do, but I have a job. I've got to make time in my schedule to be there at 4 o'clock every Tuesday from October to May, and I'm going to do that. My wife Sarah is going to be there every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. You know, we have 2 kids that go to Kings Mills Elementary. They get out of school at 3:20. You know what we're going to do? We're going to put them in King's Kids for a couple hours and pay $15 so that she can serve. Whew, we're generous, aren't we? But you can do that too. I used to work for a company, and I had another volunteer opportunity on Tuesdays serving at a ministry called Alpha. You know what? I went to my boss and said, fellas, I want to come in at 6 in the morning so I can leave at 3:30. He said, okay. Part of what I want you to hear now is stop making excuses. Start receiving the blessings God has for you in your life. Stop making excuses and start making an impact. If you're willing to do that, you can check that box on the back of your connection card saying, I'm ready to get in the game. I'm ready to serve Jesus through Wiz Kids. I want to close with a song, and you all know it. Both campuses sung a lot. It's called Oh, the Blood. And I intentionally picked this song because I want us to be reminded today, one, that our freedom is found in Christ alone, that our freedom is found in the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. And now more than anything, this series on generosity, it's a call to your freedom. It's a call to overcome your fears and your anxieties about giving. Whatever that next step was, or that is, that the Holy Spirit has convicted you to make, please make it. Become a regular giver. Take the 90-day challenge. Do it. Don't delay. And if God has pricked your heart saying, I need to be at summer camp, I want you to tutor. Don't make an excuses on why you can't do it. Just respond to the Spirit of God in you asking you to do this. And the reason we do all these things, the power comes through Christ, but we do it for His glory and so that the gospel can continue to spread through our community. And you, in the end, what awesome kicker. We'll have joy, we will have freedom, and God will bless your socks off. Let's worship.